going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
As promised, Hockey Insider Darren Dreger from TSN joining us for a weekly installment. And for, you know, programming note here, we're off tomorrow. So cherish these moments with Dregs. How's your sleep these days, Dregs?
Not terrible. So I'm just full disclosure here. All right. Transparency. Game one, LA Kings, Edmonton Oilers. 4-0, I go to bed. I'm like, all right, I've seen enough. There's just no way, as much respect as we all have for Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and everything else, this game is over. And then I can wake up the next morning, and I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
Thank heavens they still put out essentially a condensed game, like a review, right?
Yes.
So that one saved me, but... Yeah, I don't love the late starts, especially when they're dropping puck at about 11:15 Eastern PM, as we've seen in the Vegas series. But
yeah, but it's the local that kills me. Like again tonight, like St. Louis has an atrocious local start time, close to 9 o'clock. Like it's I don't get it.
And Tampa, after having an 8:50 puck drop in game one, they have a 6:30 game time today. So it's like. Literally two plus hours difference in your start time and your preparation, everything. But listen, Dregs, that's the playoffs. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But last Saturday, Kevin Adams, Lindy Ruff met with the media, and Kevin Adams said, I still need to meet with Terry Pegula, and, you know, we have to have our meeting. From my knowledge, it hasn't happened yet. What are you hearing, and what do you think that meeting will produce?
Well, look, I mean, there's lots of speculation around the media world, right, on what's going to happen. Could this happen in Buffalo? Could that happen in Buffalo? Most of it is unfounded, and it's real tough to lean on speculation. I mean, that's just difficult when you're talking about the potential of what could be significant change. So I'm going to nibble at the edges of all of this because, sure, it could involve Kevin Adams, and I'm not suggesting that he's going to be unemployed, that, you know, Pegula and the Sabres are pushing away. But maybe there is some sort of change in the hierarchy of the Buffalo Sabres. So that's about as far as I'm willing to go in terms of the world of speculation. There is internal ongoing conversations, but nothing has been finalized. And I don't know that'll be, you know, we're already having this conversation Thursday. Do I think that something imminently is going to be announced in the next few days? No, I don't. But as of this morning, I was just told ongoing discussions and really nothing new to report.
You feel like, I suppose every case is different, but it's the time of year where lots of teams are going through evaluations and change and there are openings elsewhere. Does one affect another often, or, you know, as far as availability of people and pursuit of people for certain positions, things like that?
Yeah, it can. It absolutely can. You know, I'm thinking of a couple of examples. You know, Gerard Gallant, remember, coach of the Vegas Golden Knights until I guess it was Pete DeBoer came available. You know, people weren't expecting that to happen. Oh, all right, Pete DeBoer's available. Callum McCrimmon and George McPhee went, okay, love Turk, real good guy, excellent motivator. This guy is better. You know, this guy's going to help us win a Stanley Cup. And I think that they kind of felt the same when they hired Bruce Cassidy. So I think it happens more often coaching. And this year we saw it, right? Drew Bannister, nothing wrong with the coaching that Drew Bannister was doing early in the year with the St. Louis Blues. Mm-hmm. I mean, he made his way up through the organization. They loved him as a coach in their American League system. Gets to the NHL, knows the players who have developed. And then Jim Montgomery pops open from the Boston Bruins, and Doug Armstrong is like, okay, history with that guy. Yes, he's a better coach, more experienced, and more of what we need right now to boost this team into the playoffs. So I think it happens more on the coaching carousel than it does anywhere else.
Okay, so off of that, like teams that are aggressive say, oh, I like this one better. I want him. Boom. With the Islanders GM position open, and you know, there's going to be others, you know, kind of position open as well. The Islanders are rumored to have wanting a president of hockey operation and a general manager, whatever.
Yeah.
But who's available? Because right now I'm looking at lists online. I think Ken Holland, Mark Bergevin, Peter Chiarelli, Jarmo Kekalainen, some up and coming like Matthew Darche or whatnot. Like, who's really open to these jobs right now and that teams should be looking at?
Yeah, well, number one, if we're zeroing in on the Islanders for the moment, you know, it sure sounds like they want experience coming in, and probably in both areas. So in Ken Holland, you get decades of experience, you get the decorated resume, all of that. You know, is Kenny at this point in his career and his life, at his age, wanting to be president and general manager? That feels like a little bit too much. But you bring in somebody like a Jarmo Kekalainen, or, you know, Chiarelli, he's been out a long time. You know, even though he's a key component to what's going on with the St. Louis Blues. Like, Doug Armstrong leans on Chiarelli a lot. But I think he got unfairly treated after his experience in Edmonton. You know, I do. I think he's an excellent general manager waiting. Matthew Darche, his name has been out there a number of different times. You know, you can look at that AGM level, and there are lots of qualified guys. You know, I think of Chris Kraepper as an example in Detroit. I mean, he's been doing that job for a long, long time. So go down the list. But specific to the Islanders, at least it's the intel that I'm getting from sources there is that they'd prefer experience. But is that Ken Holland plus, or is that Ken Holland and something else? Or, you know, now let's flip it here. Maybe Ken Holland doesn't look at the New York Islanders as the greatest job either. Like, he might look at it and go, oh, there's too much work to do there. There's just too much. So it is going to be interesting to see how John Collins, who's heading all of this, manages it. But he's got a ton of respect, I know that, for Holland, as he should.
Our boy Kevin Weeks has been thrown into some speculations. Do you think Weeks
gets a job? He always is. He's like Pierre Maguire all of a sudden now in the last couple of years. And I like Pierre a lot. But I at one point, I remember having a conversation with Pierre, and I don't know who coined the term, but they nicknamed him the finalist, right? Because he was always rumored to be in the final running for these GM jobs, and it just didn't happen. And I remember having the conversation, maybe Bobby Mack was part of it too, where he said, Pierre, you got to find a way to stay under the radar, as difficult as that is. And that would be my advice to Kevin as well. I mean, Kevin probably could slide into a hockey operations role. Is he ready to be an NHL general manager? I don't know. That's not my job to say. I have a healthy respect for the work that he does, his playing experience, and his connections. I get all that. But if Kevin gets the job, I hope that it is.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Isn't based off media speculation. I want to see the release come from a club from left field that says we have just hired Kevin Weeks for job X. I think that would serve him better.
Do you think that the Anaheim coaching vacancy doesn't get nearly the attention it should?
Yes. I do. You know, I look at that team. I mean, Greg Cronin was shocked that he got let go. You know, most coaches are, they can sense that something's coming, right? Like maybe there's less communication towards the end of the year between management and you as a head coach, which leads you to believe, all right, well, they're obviously not happy. I didn't get that sense from those close to Cronin. He was borderline shocked that he got let go. But Pat Verbeek and those around the Ducks think that that team is ready to flip. You know, they're ready to make a turn. Are they ready to be a playoff contender? I'm not so sure of that. I think that there's still a lot of work to get done. But I think it's a quality job. I do. And, you know, I keep hearing Joel Quenneville's name out there in a couple of different spots, right? Maybe Anaheim, someone will link him to the New York Rangers. I mean, there's, I guess, some possibility there. Now that Chris Drury has been extended, of course, we remember the experience between Drury and Quenneville way back in their Colorado days. Mm-hmm. You know, Seattle, Ron Francis moved up to the role of president. Botterill is now the GM. There's history with Francis, of course, and Q. You know, could that be a fit if they need more experience in Seattle? So, yeah, I mean, any head coaching job in the National Hockey League is coveted by those especially who aren't NHL head coaches. But I think Anaheim has earned a higher level of placement among those looking for a job like that.
I have a very serious question.
Uh-oh.
Could we see Ralph Krueger back in the NHL?
Oh my
gosh. It's just a joke. It's a joke just because Botterill is in Seattle. That's not even worthy of mention. What happened in Seattle? Dan Bylsma has the job in Coachella for 2 years. They know exactly what he is. He goes to the finals in the AHL 2 years in a row. They promote him to the job. And then a year later, they say, you're not what we thought you were. Like they knew exactly who he was when they hired him. And a year later, they fired him. Like what happened there?
Yeah, it smells to me like there were perhaps too many cooks in this kitchen when they promoted Bylsma from Coachella to the National Hockey League. Now, I do remember Ronnie Francis, you know, facing the speculation on television. That was a couple of months ago. Was it around midseason? You guys remember when he came out and said, look, Dan Bylsma is my coach. Yeah. I think at the time, though, that that Francis wanted to go through maybe a wider search, a more exhaustive process. And I think ownership felt like, okay, well, no, and we've got a real good staff in Coachella, which includes Bylsma and, of course, Jessica Campbell, who was promoted to the NHL bench. Let's go that way. Let's go that route. And obviously, that's the way they ended up going. So the change in front office is interesting. And I would have thought that there was a relationship between Botterill and Bylsma because of their American League connection. And if you want to go back further, their connection back to the Penguins when they were in Pittsburgh. So it's an interesting one to be sure that they made the changes that they did. And the fact that Francis got elevated. I mean, there were some who wondered about his job security, you know, and as it's turned out, you know, he moves up into the role of president of hockey operations. So a lot of question marks around that Seattle team. But as we heard from them, they feel like they're a team that's ready to push for a playoff spot. And what is clear is when I look at that roster, I think they should have been closer to a playoff spot than they ended up being. And I always wonder, fellas, when it comes to a coach firing like this, Cronin would be the same way with Anaheim. Mm-hmm. How did those exit interviews go? How did those go? Because if you're the general manager, whoever's sitting in on that meeting, and you've got 15 players that come out swinging in those exit interviews on what they didn't like about certain aspects, well, that can shift the planning in a hurry.
Yeah, and Seattle ends up smelling a little bit like Nashville at the end of the season simply because they went big in free agency last summer. Yeah. And they added Stevenson and they added Montour and it didn't, you know.
Didn't work
out. It's not on them. In fact, like their numbers were pretty much what you would expect. But shocker, the goaltending wasn't at the same level.
Yeah.
So the coach bites the dust. And we look at it in similar ways to what happened in Nashville. Because for everything that went wrong in Nashville, UC Soros didn't have a very good year.
Exactly right. It always comes down to that, doesn't it? I mean, the three staples, you know, goaltending, what's your defense look like?
Yeah.
And then obviously, how strong are you up the middle of the ice? And and if you say you're above average in all three of those areas, guess what? You're a playoff team. That's just the way it works out.
Dregs, there's 5-0. So the Ottawa Senators are down 2-0. Montreal, the New Jersey Devils, St. Louis, and the Edmonton Oilers. Mm. Which one would you say has a chance of coming back and maybe winning the series?
Well, I mean, they all have a chance. The closest.
Which one has a better chance?
Yeah, the closest. I mean, for me, it's kind of a split between two. Edmonton. Special teams, they got to get that figured out and clean up the big mistakes that we saw in that game last night. And I don't think Montreal's been rewarded for their play. I really don't. I mean, Sam Montembeau was terrific. Logan Thompson was really, really good. So you've got a bit of a goaltending battle there. But without Logan Thompson, that series is even at one. So I'd give the Oilers and the Habs a chance.
Thank you for sending us into an unexpected long weekend here on Sabres Live.
My pleasure. You guys have a great weekend.
Thank you, Dregs.
Will.
Darren Dreger from TSN. We're back after this on Sabres Live.